away. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore.
Be seated. Our invitation song will be number 714.
The statements in the prayer that Brother Gardner led indicate to us the schedule that faces us in the next few days. 168 hours from now, we will be in the beginning stages of our Vacation Bible School. 7 days after that, we will be having our special Sunday, fifth Sunday, with Brother Daniel Hope here to speak. 7 days after that, Horizons will begin with the senior high group, and CTS will begin for the adults. And as a part of that, Brother West will be speaking in our four-night meeting. 7 days after that, the junior high group will begin Horizons. Camp is going on every week. I tell you, Henderson is a busy place. I have found out by experience, especially to you young folks that are visiting, it doesn't take long to spend the night in Henderson. But aren't you glad that we have so much going on? I want tonight to especially think from our vantage point about our Vacation Bible School and perhaps also our gospel meeting. And as we think about it, I want to suggest that every one of us who is a part of this congregation be renamed for the next few days. I want you to either call yourself Andrew Philip or Philip Andrew. There's something rather interesting here in the first chapter of John. We have two people who brought, and we have two people who were brought. The two people who brought were Andrew and Philip. The two who were brought were Peter and Nathanael. There are many people out in the community who may be somewhat like Peter. There are many, I'm sure, that live in the Henderson-Chester County area who are a lot like Nathanael. Both of these were brought to Jesus, and both of them became followers of Jesus. But it is important for us to think about the ones who brought them. Our lesson tonight is intended to simply look at these four Bible characters, and especially to identify with two of them. First, consider Andrew. Particularly in verses 43 through 46, we have Andrew being talked about, or really, let's back up a little bit on that, 37 beginning. Two disciples heard him speak and followed Jesus. Verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. We don't know a lot about Andrew. I suppose that the one thing that stands out in our minds as we think about him was that he was a brother to Peter. We know that he was an apostle. We know that he was a fisherman. But basically, we remember him not for anything special that he did as an apostle or as a follower of Christ, but more because of his relationship to Peter. Notice some of the things that are said about Andrew here that might help us to appreciate him a little bit more. First, he evidently listened to the evidence that was given concerning Jesus. In passing, I would suggest to you that the greatest compliment that is paid a preacher in the Bible, in my opinion, is paid in verse 37 to another man that's mentioned in this chapter, John Baptist. The Bible says that they heard John speak and followed Jesus. They didn't follow John, they followed Jesus. I believe that's the greatest thing that can be said about a preacher. And so John is involved in preaching about Jesus and getting the attention of these who bring, and through them the attention of those who were brought. But Andrew listened to what John was saying. And he listened to the evidence enough that he followed Jesus. And as indicated in verse 41, he listened enough that he was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. He truly became a believer in Jesus for who he was. And when he heard about Jesus and was convinced that he was the Messiah, evidently he just couldn't wait until he let his family know about it. At least until he let his brother know about it. He went to his family. He went to his brother to bring him to Jesus. Sometimes we talk about the fact that it is difficult for us to have influence with members of our own families. I never have understood why that ought to be the case. If we have the love among us between each of the two individuals in a family circle that ought to be there, we certainly ought to be interested in sharing with each other any good news that comes about. I'm pretty sure if you and I had family members who were suffering from the disease of cancer, and we were somewhere and were informed about a new cure, that we would probably go to the members of our family first before we would go to anybody else. We find Andrew going to his family and wanting to share about Jesus. You have heard me refer to my dad several times, and would be appropriate especially today to refer to him. Dad was a livestock dealer, going from house to house, literally in our county, buying livestock, taking it to the sale. He made a living that way. I never will forget a story that he told me one night of an incident that had happened that day. He was at a place where the folks were very, very poor. Was in the process of buying some cattle, and there was a little boy that came out, maybe 6 or 7 years old, and Dad had one stick of peppermint candy in his pocket. And he gave that stick to the little boy. He said the first thing the little boy did was take the stick and break it in two equal pieces, put one in his pocket, and began eating the other. Dad said, "Son, are you saving that for later?" He said, "No, sir. I have a little brother in the house." He had one stick of candy, and the first thing he thought about was taking half of that to his little brother in the house. Andrew heard about Jesus, and being convinced that he was the Messiah, seemingly among the first things that he thought about was that he had a brother in the house or somewhere that he needed to tell about Jesus. The point I want you to see above everything else is that Andrew brought somebody in his own family to Jesus. Now think about Philip for a moment. It is said in verse 43 that Philip responded to Jesus, or at least indicated that he did. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." And looking at the entire context would indicate that Philip immediately followed Jesus. In verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael. This word findeth just jumps out again and again in this passage. He findeth Nathanael. Nathanael was not his family. Nathanael was his friend. And so when he was asked to follow Jesus, and evidently began to see really who Jesus was and what Jesus could mean, one of his first thoughts was to find his friend. The indication is here in verse 45 that Philip had heard about Jesus before, or at least knew something about him, because he said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." You see, he evidently was aware of the teaching of the Old Testament scriptures, to where he knew something of the prophecies and the predictions by Moses and by the prophets that Jesus would come, and he knew enough about him to connect him to Nazareth and to connect him to Joseph, who was the earthly father of Jesus. And so we find Philip evidently knowing something about Jesus. And in verse 46, we see something about Philip, that he was not afraid of the evidence to be presented to somebody else. He was convinced that if he could get Nathanael to come and see, that Nathanael would believe the same thing that he believed. He had enough faith in the facts, enough faith in what was true about Jesus that he believed, that he could bring someone to study about Jesus, and that person would become as convinced as he was. And the someone that he brought was a friend. Andrew brought family. Philip brought a friend. Now I want you to think for a moment about the two that were brought. Peter was not a highly educated person, formally speaking. He was a fisherman. He was certainly not a perfect person. We don't know this from this passage, but from the study of Peter and his life, we know that he made some serious mistakes. Had a problem with his tongue. May have been one who would speak too quickly about something. And had a problem when he really got in a corner of even denying Jesus. And yet, Peter became one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. History tells us that when Peter came to the point of being put to death for the cause he served, that he requested to be crucified upside down, since he did not want to be crucified in the same position as his Lord. I would guess today that if I handed out a piece of paper to everybody in this audience and asked you to name the three most outstanding men that are talked about in the New Testament, that Peter would be on the list. If we were not including Christ, just men other than Christ, I would guess in 90% of the cases, the Apostle Peter would be listed as number two. Paul probably would be listed as number one. Here is a man who became the one who would have the keys to the kingdom. Jesus says to him on this occasion, "You're going to be called a stone." And he mentions that particularly in Matthew 16:18, when he a little later says to Peter, and maybe to all the apostles associated with Peter, "I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." And we know from a study of the book of Acts that Peter was the one who stood up and spoke on Pentecost when the Jews were brought in as Christians, and the one who spoke on the occasion at the household of Cornelius when the Gentiles were brought in to Christ and became Christians. Literally having the keys of the kingdom to all different types of people. The Apostle Peter was, without a doubt, one of the greatest workers for the Lord in the early history of the kingdom. However, It was Andrew who found Peter and brought him to Christ. Who but knows that there's somebody living on one of these streets? Who but knows especially that there's somebody in your own family who might become a good gospel preacher? Who might someday become an elder or a deacon or a Bible teacher in the church? Who might become a woman who could uphold the hands of a husband as an elder or a deacon or a preacher, or who could become a good Bible class teacher? Who but knows that there's somebody in your family, maybe just a child at this point, who could become involved in the Lord's work and become somewhat like the Apostle Peter, only if you brought that person to Jesus and pointed them in the right way? Who but knows? There may be somebody in your family who's not a Christian. Maybe who has really not been coming to Bible study and worship, who might come if you went with the right attitude and told them what Jesus means to you and encouraged them to come to Vacation Bible School or to a Bible class on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, or get involved in some of the other activities that we are having. Consider next the second person that was brought to Jesus, a man by the name of Nathanael. It is generally agreed that Nathanael is the same one as Bartholomew, who is mentioned as one of the 12. Again, we don't know a lot about Nathanael. If he were Bartholomew, he was not involved in some of the activities of the apostles, as were Peter, James, and John. He is not mentioned in the way that others are mentioned, specifically speaking. But he was listed with the 12 in Matthew 10, 2 through 4, to whom was given the ability to cast out demons and to perform works as they went about to convince people that they were followers of Jesus Christ. But look at him at the point that we pick him up today. Verse 46 indicates to us that Nathanael was a prejudiced person. When Philip said something to him about Jesus, his question, evidently the first thing he said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He was prejudiced against Jesus. But as we look a little bit further, he evidently was willing at least to look at the evidence, verses 46 and 47. Because after he had followed Philip in the instruction to come and see, we see Jesus talking to Nathanael in verse 47 and saying, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." That indicates to us that he was dedicated to the beliefs that he had. He was dedicated to the law of Moses. He was dedicated to Israel at that time, Israel being God's chosen people in a specific way at that time. An Israelite indeed. Jesus didn't just say an Israelite indeed. And then he said, "In whom there is no guile." That suggests that Nathanael was a sincere person, pure in his thinking, willing to be himself, and willing to listen to what was being said. There are few qualities that are more important than purity of heart that results in what you and I call sincerity. I think most of us would agree that we appreciate a person who might disagree with us who is sincere than one who would agree with us in hypocrisy. Nathanael was one about whom Jesus said, "In whom there is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said, Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Notice verse 49. Now this is the same man that evidently just a short time before has said, Is there any good thing that can come out of Nazareth? Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Oh, look how far he came in a short period of time. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Sometimes in our conversations, we talk about how there are people in this community that are prejudiced against the church. And I think that is true in some cases. There are people who do not know the facts that we teach and the facts for which we stand in the restoration movement of the Church of our Lord. And for that reason, sometimes there are even statements made by some people in this community that indicate that there's an attitude of prejudice. But is it possible that there may be somebody out there in this community who is prejudiced, who can be brought to Jesus in the same way that Nathanael was, and who, upon seeing the evidence, will believe who Jesus really is and what his church really is? I believe that's the case. I believe we have seen that happen down through the years. There are some of you sitting in here tonight who over the years have brought people to Jesus Christ because you were willing to go to a friend and invite them to come, invite them to study, invite them to listen. And there are those in the work of the church here who are very strong and very helpful and very important in the work on a daily basis, who at one time maybe even had some ideas of prejudice against Christ and against the church. If Nathanael could be brought from his position of asking, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, to saying, Thou art the Son of God, Thou art the King, can we not believe that there are those whom we can bring who can have the same end result? Nathanael came from a bad attitude to a good attitude because Philip went and findeth Nathanael and bringeth him to Jesus. And Peter became an outstanding apostle, an outstanding man in the establishment and early history of the church because Andrew findeth Peter and bringeth him to Jesus. Our challenge tonight is that you and I become Andrews and Phillips, especially in the next few days. Here is the bottom line. Andrew brought his family. Philip brought his friend. And the end results were great in each case. May God help each of us to be an Andrew Philip or a Philip Andrew. May He help us to reach out and see how many in our own families and among our own friends that we can bring on the occasions just ahead of us or on any occasion for that matter, to study about Jesus, to become more familiar with Him, and perhaps to become true followers of Him. The success of our Vacation Bible School, the success of our gospel meeting, and to some extent the success of the activities that are associated in other ways will depend largely upon whether or not you are an Andrew and invite your family, or a Philip and invite your friends. But notice something else. Andrew, who brought Peter, believed in Jesus. Philip, who brought Nathanael, believed in Jesus. And so as we prepare ourselves to bring others, let's be sure that we have the kind of faith that we need to have in our Lord, to stand on solid ground, to set the right example, to say the right things, to do the right teaching, to bring people to Jesus. They brought, let us bring. And perhaps somewhat in the same way, in talking about financial matters in 2 Corinthians 8, we need to apply a principle that is given there. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Let's reword that just a little bit to put it into our teaching tonight and our setting tonight. They first brought themselves to the Lord. And then they reached out to bring family and friends. Have you brought yourself to Jesus? Are you willing to listen to the evidence and believe, as Nathanael said, that thou art the Son of God, thou art the King? If you believe that and you've not acted upon it, you need to come tonight to be baptized into Christ, to be restored, to ask for prayers. What is your relationship to Jesus? Is it such that you are ready to reach out to family and friends? If not, come as together we stand and sing.